24. Hunch. Milgram sat at a table in the courtyard's busy cafe, camera in his lap, cycling through his four shots of Foley. The two from behind might be useful if you wanted to send someone to follow him. The quarter profile, against a glare of 80s color, was actually less useful. Could be anyone. Had women's clothing actually been that bright in the 80s? But this one, which he'd shot blind by reaching around behind a henned German girl, was excellent. The girl had given him a dirty look for getting too close. He'd smelled her perfume, something pointedly inorganic. The scent of coolly focused concentration, perhaps. Sorry, he'd said, and stepped back, palming the little camera, wondering if he'd captured Foley, who now had vanished again. He'd looked down, summoned the image, and had found Foley, zoomed, in tight focus, crookedly off-center in the frame. He'd seen how Foley's sunglasses had left slight tan lines, recalling the porn rectangle he'd worn on the link Winnie had sent. The cap's short bill effectively concealed his forehead, cutting out a good deal of emotional information. His features were smooth, as if untouched by experience, and confident, a confidence that Milgram suspected he might not entirely be feeling, something he'd try to project regardless of the situation. With the camera semi-concealed in his right hand, Milgram had moved on, scanning the busy salon for Foley. He'd soon found him, but simultaneously had found Hollis, who was listening intently to a younger woman in jeans and a white shirt. Hollis had seen him, he was certain. Milgram, focused on Foley's receding back, had ignored her, avoiding eye connect. When Foley had descended the stairs, Milgram had followed, then had watched as Foley left the building. He'd gone into the courtyard, ordered an espresso, and settled down to study his photographs. Now he turned the camera off, opened the little hatch on the bottom, and removed the blue card, the size of a postage stamp. When had he last used an actual postage stamp? He couldn't remember. It gave him a strange feeling to even think of one. He reached down, hiked the cuff of his new pants, and slipped the card quite far down into his sock, which he then pulled up, allowing his cuff to fall back into place. He was not a methodical man by nature, his therapist had said, but the constant ongoing state of emergency imposed by his active addiction had shown him the practical advantages of method, which had then become habit. He took an unused card from the inside pocket of his jacket and extracted it, with the usual difficulty, from its cardboard backing. He inserted it, closed the hatch, and slipped the camera into the side pocket of his jacket. The Neo rang, from a different pocket. He brought it out. It looked even uglier than usual. Yes?
Just checking your phone, Slight said, unconvincingly. We're having trouble with the whole system.
Slight had always spoken of the Neos as a system, but Milgram had met no one else, other than Slight, who had one.
Seems to be working, Milgram said.
How are things?
Slight had never made it a secret that he was able to track Milgram with the Neo, but only referred to it obliquely, if at all. The subtext, now, being that he knew Milgram was in Paris, knew that Milgram was in this courtyard of this building, perhaps, given that extra overlay of Russian GPS. When their relationship had begun, Milgram had been unwilling to question anything. Slight had set the terms in every way, and so it had been.
It's raining, said Milgram, looking up at blue sky, bright clouds.
A silence lengthened. He was trying to force Slight to admit to knowing his location, but he didn't know why. It was something to do with the anger he'd felt, was probably still feeling. Was that a good thing?
How's New York? Milgram asked, losing his nerve. Toronto, said Slight. Getting hot. See you.
He was gone. Milgram looked at the Neo. Something was unfolding within him, like a brochure, he thought, rather than the butterfly he imagined to be the more common image. An unpleasant brochure, the sort that lays out symptoms all too clearly. Why had Slight actually called? Had he really needed to check Milgram's phone? Did a brief moment of live voice provide Slight with the opportunity to manipulate the Neo in some way that he couldn't otherwise? If Milgram spoke now, he wondered for the very first time, would Slight hear him? It suddenly seemed entirely likely to him that Slight could.
He sat back in his white enameled aluminum chair, aware again of that emotion he supposed was anger. He could feel the Faraday pouch, containing his passport, slung on its cord, under his shirt, blocking radio waves, preventing the RFID in his U.S. passport from being read. He looked at the Neo. Without consciously making any decision, he undid the top button of his shirt, fished the pouch out, opened it, and slid the Neo in with his passport. He tucked it back into his shirt and buttoned up. The pouch was bulkier now, visible under his shirt. He finished his espresso, which had cooled and was bitter, and left some coins on the small square receipt. He stood up, buttoned his jacket over the slight bulge of the pouch, and re-entered the Salon du Vantage. Still scanning for Foley, who, for all he knew, had returned. He took his time, making his way up the stairs, and then stood for a while, looking up at the blow-up of Hollis's poster. Then he undid his top button again, drew out the pouch, opened it, and removed the Neo, which rang immediately. "Hello?" as he tucked the pouch back in with his free hand. "Were you on an elevator?" "It was filled with Japanese girls," Milgram said, watching one pass. "Only 3 floors here, but I couldn't get off." "Just checking," said Slight, neutrally, and hung up. Milgram looked at the Neo, Slight's extension, wondering for the first time if it was really off when he turned it off. Perhaps it needed its batteries removed for that. Though, come to think it, Slight forbade that, or its 2 cards, which Milgram was also forbidden to remove. Slight had noticed it going into the Faraday pouch. Milgram had been briefly invisible, as he'd sometimes gathered he was in elevators, for similar reasons. Given everything else Slight had said he could do with the Neo, having it function as a bug actually seemed like a very modest capacity, and it would help explain why they'd bothered with the thing at all, cranky as it was. He'd been carrying around a wire. Would Big Ant have known about that? Milgram wondered. Slight had given him the Neo on their flight from Basel to London, at the end of Milgram's treatment. He'd had it with him constantly since then, except, he remembered, yesterday, when Slight had ordered him to leave it in his room, when Winnie had taken his picture, when he'd gone to Blue Ant to tell Big Ant about that, and Big Ant had suggested he no longer trusted Slight, when he'd gone to the department store to have lunch with Hollis, then back to his hotel, where Winnie had been waiting. So Slight had missed all of that, missed it because, if he was telling the truth, the company that made the Neo had gone bankrupt. "Lucky," said Milgram, then winced, imagining Slight, Bluetoothed, somewhere, hearing him. But if Foley was Slight's, which was only one possibility, how had Foley known to find them at the department store? Perhaps he was following Hollis instead? But then, he reminded himself, Foley was someone else who had his picture on Winnie's wall. The Neo rang in his hand. "Yes?" "Where are you?" "Hollis." "I saw you walk past. Can you meet me? By the entrance, downstairs?" "Are you up here?" "Downstairs." "On my way," she said. "Good," he said, and clicked off. Resisting the impulse to whistle for Slight's benefit, he put his phone in his jacket pocket, then removed his jacket, wrapped it several times around the phone, tucked the resulting bundle under his arm, and headed for the stairs.